Usually when someone comes to me from another church and they start talking to me about wanting to attend this church, usually I get some information about the other churches and how bad they are, how bad their pastors are, how bad the preaching is, how bad the music is, and so forth and so on. And I usually say to those people, yes, I know, you know, Pastor Joe is one of my good friends. Or Pastor so-and-so, yes, I love him very much. I had to smile at them. But I had a conversation with a man named Dan who wanted to come to our church, and he said something very different. He told me that he wanted to come to our church because he lived in the neighborhood and he was having trouble trying to invite people to his other church that he was a part of because it was so far away. And so this was a very different thing than I've ever heard before. So I asked Dan, who is now a member of our church, to come share a little bit about this idea of changing churches because you want it to be close to your church.
Thank you. I'd like to say I have the same energy as Jerry Lee, but I don't think I do. Okay. I've been a Christian for about 30 years. My spiritual journey started when I was 7 years old. And I remember asking my mother, what happens to people when they die? Her answer was, everyone goes to heaven when they die. And that answer just didn't seem right to me with all the evil in the world, even to the limited degree I knew of it. We attended a Catholic church at the time, and my mother's answer probably reflected the lack of biblical instruction she had received by that time. Not long after this time, my mom heard from a friend of an exciting new church in Lexington called Grace Chapel. Having grown up in Somerville, Lexington seemed like a world away. We started regularly making what seemed to be a mighty journey to the country to attend. I was immediately sold on the padded seats at the sanctuary. Such decadent indulgence. No more sitting on my coat, and the pastor even spoke English. This I could handle. As a regular attendee, I was taught that we are all sinners deserving of God's judgment. But through the sacrifice of God's own Son, Jesus Christ, I could live forever in heaven with Him and all who believe in Him. I received Christ after an invitation given by my third grade Sunday school teacher. And my spiritual growth came over the years through many dedicated Sunday school teachers, pastors, youth leaders, my parents, Bible studies, and personal time seeking the Lord in prayer. As a participant and leader of several short-term missions projects during my high school and young adult years, I was greatly encouraged in the faith, seeing how God is changing lives and making abundant lives full of hope all around the world helps me appreciate and cherish the truly good news we have to share with our fellow man. Speaking of sharing with my fellow man, let me fast forward to about a year ago. My family, which consists of my wonderful wife, Katie, and four daughters, were attending Westgate Church in Weston for about 15 years when I felt the Lord urging me to get local and share the good news of Jesus with my neighbors. This reaching out has sadly included leaving our old church to be more local to what was happening around our neighborhood. We happily have ended up here at Crossroads about 9 months ago. And about 5 weeks ago, a postcard announcing the upcoming Advent sermon series went out to our neighborhood. The postcard ended up sparking an hour and a half long discussion with my neighbor, Non, about who Jesus is, what he's done for us, and his relationship he wants to have with us. Non shared with me some of his life story, a story of immense pain and suffering, and God caring for him in various ways. I could see God was with us in that moment, and God was about to do something big, but I didn't know that then. I only knew God had moved in that dining room we sat at. Crossroads, it is my great honor to introduce to you a new fellow brother in Christ, my neighbor and BFF, Non.
Hello, everyone. I haven't spoke to such a large crowd like this, so I might be nervous, so please bear with me. I'll do the best I could and not try to cry. When I was 6 years old, I remember seeing a light figure beside me when I was alone as a child. The light figure would come and comfort me and make me feel safe. The last time I saw the light figure was when I was in second grade and I was crying and I was in fear. I was afraid I would fail an important exam. The teacher tried to comfort me, but it didn't work. I felt that light figure again beside me as I sat at my desk. It reached out to me, and it touched me, and it took away my fear. And miraculously, I passed the exam. Growing up, I was taught to believe in Buddha. My mother told my sisters and I to pray to Buddha whenever we're sad, lonely, or when we're in need. I started to doubt in Buddhism when my cousin Lena passed away at the age of 12 from leukemia. That was 9 years ago. The monks at the service told us all not to cry for her, because that would keep her on earth. If we cried, she wouldn't be able to enter heaven. I thought that was not right, but still listened to what they said. I prayed to Buddha day and night to give me confirmation that she is indeed in heaven, because we followed the teachings of the monks, and we did not cry for her. There was no sign or confirmation that she was in heaven. Little did I know that in the near future, God would confirm to me that she was indeed in heaven through a dream. My father was an alcoholic. Growing up to the age of 13, he would punish us for all the things that went wrong in his life. To him, we were mistakes and a burden. So he would punish us by letting out his anger in us. I was sexually, physically, verbally, and emotionally abused by him. It lasted till I was 13 years old. It felt like it was an eternity. There was always something deep in my heart that told me to survive and endure what is happening. So I followed my heart and continued to live on, because somehow I knew there was light at the end of the tunnel. Growing up, we were blessed to have friends and strangers that came into our lives and took us away from this darkness at times. We were always left home alone at young age. My three sisters and I would have to cook for ourselves. One day, there was a grease fire that started, and it started to burn the cabinets. We were so afraid to leave the kitchen because the thought of my father entering the house was more frightening than standing in front of the fire blazing in our faces. As we all hugged each other and cried for help, we heard the door open. It was our neighbor's daughter. She carried us out of the house, called 911, and fought the fire. She saved my life and my sister's lives, and I know now she is a Christian. There are so many instances I remember now when a Christian would come into our lives and save us. One night, I stayed at my friend's house because my father was going to his friend's house to drink. When it got dark, my friend's parents asked me if my father's coming to get me. I told them, yes, fearing that they would find out that my dad left me there. So I lied to them, and I told them he was at home, and I could just walk home now. When I left the house, I knew my father wasn't home. I didn't have the house keys. So I wandered the streets and avoided my friend's house so they wouldn't know that I'm still walking the streets alone. It was dark, and I tried to find ways to get into my house. I tried to climb into the windows, but it was all locked. I felt so hopeless, afraid, lonely, cold, and did not know what to do next. I knew I couldn't go back to my friend's house because I didn't want them to know my father had left me. My dog, Geeky, was always left outside. So I sat there and I hugged him, and then he crawled underneath the porch. I wanted to crawl down there too, but there were so many bugs and it was dark, so I was scared to do that. So I walked around the house and sat at the front steps. I started to cry, and I started to pray to Buddha to help me, to send a car just to drive by my house and notice me and help me. I prayed and prayed for Buddha to open a door for me or send my father home to let me inside the house. I got no response. And finally, I prayed to anything out there, please, please, help me. Anything up in the sky that could help me. It was midnight now. And after I prayed, a light turned on in my neighbor's house. Something inside of me told me to knock on their door. I walked over and knocked on the door. The door opened right away. And I felt so happy. She took me in and gave me a cup of milk and cookies and took me into the living room, and I fell asleep on her couch. I know now that she was a Christian and she was the mother of the lady who saved us from the fire. Then I felt somebody lift me up. It was my mom. My neighbor called my mother to inform her that I was left outside at the time. And she was in Boston at the time. My sisters came home that night with my mother as well. I was in bed with my sisters, and I heard my father come home. I prayed again to whoever helped me earlier that my father wouldn't abuse my mom and drag us out of the bed to abuse us as well. And for the first time, no abuse happened, and my mom came upstairs and slept with us. By God's grace, the abuse of my father ended at the age of 13. We were moved from my house into a shelter in Framingham. And years afterwards, I went through a lot of anger as a teenager, getting into fights, doing drugs, stealing, and hanging out with the wrong people. For most of the years growing up, I lived with uncontrolled anger that not even martial arts could teach me to control. In particular, the smell of alcohol, or even the appearance of a drunk man, will put me into a state of rage. I would inflict injuries on myself by breaking objects around me and punching walls and people. After 19 years passed, I found out that my father was dying from stage 4 lung cancer. My sisters reached out to me and told me that he doesn't have much time to live. They asked me if I wanted to see him for the last time before he leaves the U.S. to return to Vietnam to live the rest of his life. My whole life after being freed from him, I told him that if I ever met him, I would kill him. I was very emotional at the time, and I was at work. Kevin, the company CEO, came in and asked me how things are going, as he always does. I shared to him what was on my mind and asked for advice. He shared me stories and Bible verses with me, with an open heart and mind. I sat there and listened to every word he said. And what stuck with me the most was forgiven is not forgetting. At this time, I didn't know Kevin was a Christian. I just thought he was a wise man and knew a lot of quotes from the Bible and life experience. I took the time to think about what Kevin shared with me. I knew I had to go see my father for the last time and forgive him for what happened. On the drive to Pennsylvania, where my father was, I couldn't stop thinking what I would say to my father, what he would say to me, what could happen, would I revert to anger and try to hurt him, would I refuse to see him at the last minute. There were so many thoughts in my mind. The time came to finally meet my father that afternoon. We arrived at my uncle's house, Walking from the car to the front door, each step I took, my heart ached and felt so heavy. When I got to the door, I was greeted by my uncle and a lot of familiar faces from my childhood memories. I looked around the kitchen and didn't see my father. So I thought maybe he was in the living room. I didn't recognize a man sitting down at the kitchen table who stood up and got close to me. I looked at him and thought, is he an uncle whom I forgot? And then he said in Vietnamese, "Nan, it's me, your father." At that moment, I was in complete shock to see my father, unrecognizable. Instead of anger, I felt strange that he didn't look like the man I knew. I realized all the hatred I had disappeared, and it was replaced with compassion. I found myself forgiving him for all he had done. And it is a miracle that I even cried for a man who has done such evil things to me and my family. Think it back now. God opened my heart, even though I wasn't even a Christian at the time. The night Dan came over to my house to teach me how to play the guitar was a night that I would never forget. After the guitar lesson, we got into a deep conversation, and he shared me a dream he had that was a message from God to share to his neighbor when she recently lost her husband. Because he opened up to me, I felt that I should share something that I didn't share to anyone till now. It was my childhood memory of the light figure. And Dan's reaction wasn't something I expected. I thought he would think I'm crazy and tease me like my sisters had, saying I talked to walls and I made no sense in the language I was speaking. I was speaking gibberish. But Dan smiled and felt so blessed to hear my story, and I felt so welcome and free. Dan continued to share with me the Gospels and told me it was the Holy Spirit around me when I was a child. At that point, my heart and mind was filled with joy that God was with me at such a young age. I felt upset at myself for not seeing God was there all this time. After Dan left that night, I went outside to let the dogs out, like any other night before bed. I stood there and I closed my eyes and I looked up into the sky. I said in my mind, God, are you really there? Was that really you around me when I was a child? I want to believe in you and know that you really was next to me. Show me a sign, a noise, a dream tonight, something to show me that it was you. All of a sudden, my dog Chocolate barked at me. I opened my eyes and looked at him, and he continued to bark at me, and he never barks at me. I'm like, you know, I'm a seasoned lion. I follow the pack leader and everything. At that very moment, I felt that God answered me. I felt this unbelievable feeling of hope, love, warmth. It filled me from head to toe. Words really can't explain how I felt. It was wonderful, and I knew at that very moment God was and is with me my whole life. I then closed my eyes again and prayed to God. And I said, God, I will follow you. I will let you in my heart. Please continue to shine your light on me. And I'm so sorry for not seeing the signs any sooner. My whole life I kept you out of my heart and followed a false idol. At the time, I wasn't even sure how to pray to God and share how I felt. But even not knowing anything about God, I knew he was listening and he comforted me. So the So I thought to myself, this is the feeling of being blessed. Since then, I've been listening to the Bible, reading it, praying to God, and talking to others. God gave me dreams at night and often spoke to me that way. This Christmas was the best Christmas I could ever have wished for. I've been praying to God to open my sister's heart and my mother's heart to share experiences that I had. And on Christmas Eve, we all got together at my mother's house and spoke about everything that happened to us as a child. I wouldn't have never thought this day would come. Growing up together, we would walk on eggshells around each other to avoid anything that would make us think of our childhood. I know now God is with me and heard my prayers. My wife also now is a believer of Jesus, and I am looking forward to spending the rest of my life with Jesus. Then.